Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday. Packers back out on the practice field and generating a pretty lengthy injury report with some new names, some new issues, some new problems. All that stuff I talked about earlier this week about, oh, maybe they'll shake up the offensive line. Might have to by necessity. Rashid Walker did not practice today after being limited yesterday. We'll see what Friday brings, but clearly not exactly what you want to see with Trey Hendrickson coming to town. Now, that said, Jordan Morgan certainly played left tackle throughout the summer and played at a high level, though you, no matter who's out there, you're going to have to give them help and design plays and do things to help out against someone as good and prominent as Hendrickson is. But feels like that's unfortunate coming out of a bye week. Clearly something happened both there and with their kicker. Brandon McManus suffering an injury in practice yesterday, quad injury that Matt LaFleur termed to be very concerning. Now, we'll see what the prognosis is. He was a limited participant today, did not participate, which is a good thing. He was limited yesterday, limited today. We'll see if he's able to go. We've seen these types of things before where kicker's kind of dicey throughout the week and they bring up a practice squad kicker on Saturday and then, you know, the kicker is able to go. That happened a few times while Mason Crosby was in town. Hopefully that's the case here with McManus and he is good to go. But if he's not, you know what? We've got someone on the practice squad. That's fine. Just go for two every time. Go for fourth downs on the, you know, plus side of the 50. Who needs a kicker? Let's play Corey Banky ball. Also, they're going to be up by so many scores, they ain't going to need to kick field goals. See how I worked that in my head? Obviously not great. I do want to mention something, though, because I've seen a lot of folks grousing about the injury report. How do you come out of the bye week with more injuries than you went in, et cetera, et cetera? How do you as Packers fans not understand at this point in the year of our Lord 2025 that every time the Packers put out an injury report, it's going to look like a CVS receipt because they overshare and overreport all of the injuries they're dealing with? It's not a secret. Like the Packers are more forthcoming and more transparent than almost any other team. You see all those names. Two of them are Tucker Kraft and Jordan Love, who are totally fine, but they're still on the injury report. I'm begging people to take a breath. It's going to be okay. I know it's frustrating seeing a lot of names on the injury report, but you've got to understand, how long have you been watching the Green Bay Packers? They always have a long injury report. You know why? Because they overreport, especially comparative to their peers. Just a little bugaboo, little thing that's bugging me a little bit today. But for the most part, I'm in a great mood. I went to Comic-Con this morning with my daughter Olive and had a ball. Just missed seeing our guy Brent there at Artist Alley. Sorry to miss you, buddy. Brent does all the great designs here at Cheesehead TV as his side gig, because what he really is great at is doing amazing work for companies like Marvel and DC. But it was great to be at Comic-Con. Haven't gone in a long time, and it was so good to be back with Olive. We used to go every year. It's such a great vibe. If you ever get a chance to go to, you know, here in New York or out in San Diego, I cannot recommend it enough. It is such a welcoming place, and it is a lot of fun. Really good times. But be that as it may, the Green Bay Packers will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals with a new quarterback in Joe Flacco. I can't believe they get to face Joe Flacco again. Now, obviously, much better receivers this time around, but probably a worse offensive line and a worse running game. I mean, the Bengals have really looked like tough to watch when they're trying to run the football, even more so than the Packers, if you can believe that. So, you know, the Flacco thing is a fun wrinkle, but that doesn't change the fact that the Packers should get on the front foot in this game and not look back. That's where I stand here today on Thursday, even with all the injury news. That's where it is. Get to your questions and comments. Everybody chiming in. How you all doing? Good to see everybody. Got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Every great team needs a solid foundation, and that starts with health. ThetaCare is proud to support their local athletes and families with care that goes the distance. ThetaCare.org. Check it out for more information.
Expertise follows inspiration. That's why more than a dozen of the nation's top cardiovascular specialists have chosen ThetaCare as their destination to deliver exceptional care. By infusing local care with new expertise throughout ThetaCare, we're creating a healthier future for all. Meet the experts at ThetaCare.org/heart.
All right, let's get to your questions, your comments, everything that's on your mind. What's going on, Packers fans? How are we doing? I will say, it's funny. The first one I just saw is Grimpy here. Is it time to consider a OC? They have an OC. His name is Adam Stenovich. But if you're talking about a play caller rather than Matt LaFleur, highly doubt that happens anytime soon. Matt has talked about this many times. Seems like he gets asked at the end of every season if he would consider giving up play calling, to which he always says, if I think it's the best thing for the team. But you know, most offensive guys, they want to call the plays. And by the way, Matt's a really good play caller. I am so fucking sick. And I'm not saying this is just you. I understand people have their objections about Matt's play calling, but Matt's a really good play caller. I understand there are moments, there are plays, and there are calls that we're not going to agree with every single time. God knows, watch any watch party. There is going to be a call or two that I question, I hate, I'm frustrated by. But then the game is over and you step back and you look in a totality, Matt's a really good play caller. And it's getting frustrating watching Packers fans not appreciate that. You know, this is a team that just put up 40 points in an NFL game and people are like, oh, we need a new play caller. What? No, it is not time for a new play caller or OC. Bumpa, that's a fair question. If we win the toss, do we start with the ball and get off to a quick start? I hope so, man. I very much hope so. I would suspect that will probably be the plan, much like they did against Detroit in week one. Take that opening kickoff, march down the field, put up a touchdown, and take control right off the hat, right? That's the way it absolutely should be. Now, if they don't, if they put the defense out there first, maybe they want to get Joe Flacco right away, get him on the ground, hopefully, right? Put the seed of doubt in there from the get-go. I'd understand that approach, but I'm with you. I would want to get out on offense, put up seven, and take control right out of the gate. Dennis, that's an interesting question, man. How scaled back do you think the Bengals will have their playbook for Flacco? Random Packer, Gale Gilliam. I don't know. It's interesting because, yeah, it'll be pared back or scaled back in the sense of not having specific stuff that they've worked in their program and throughout the summer and all the offseason stuff, the checks at the line and kind of what you call things in regards to protection and things like that, that they've all worked on together all through the last 3-4 months. Right. But concepts wise, it's good. You know, it's football, and Flacco's been in a number of different systems. He's going to know, you know, if it's XYZ call and he knows the guy's doing a post and the other guy's doing an out, and that concept, the how it works together and what the coverage is after the snap of the ball, that's pretty rudimentary for him, you know. Now, of course, is he going to be in lockstep every single play? Of course not. That's impossible, especially for that short of time that he's going to have to work with his fellow, you know, offensive running mates there. But yeah, as far as like the concepts themselves, shouldn't be an issue. But, you know, the communication at the line of scrimmage, checking to certain things, trying to take advantage of looks they see pre-snap, that's going to be challenging. And I don't know what they'll throw into or on his plate as far as control at the line of scrimmage, all that stuff, you know. That's where it will hopefully benefit the Packers. Let's see. Brett, what's up, man? I heard from Brian Bulaga. Did he call you personally? Or are you talking about on the radio? Got it. That the Packers should put big guys at the end for special teams for field goals, and that's what Mike McCarthy did. What do you think about that? I think the idea of trying to get your best players on special teams, regardless of their size, is the way to go. And I think you should check out the conversation I had with Justice last week. I don't doubt for a moment that this is something they've talked a lot about as far as the approach, which personnel they're using. You look at that Dallas game after the block kick, they did change up the personnel in field goal protection, and certainly it ended up working down the stretch of that game. And I think you're going to see different personnel coming out of the gate than you saw coming, you know, that Sunday night down in Dallas. The personnel is an issue. There's no doubt about it. Strictly saying, put out the big guys on the wing. That's one way to go about it. I just want them to be, you know, better players, the frontline guys. I want Elgton Jenkins to be on field goal protection. You know what I mean? Because God knows they're getting run over and along the middle. You know, that's where the block came in Cleveland. I know they got penetration from Kraft on the left side there, but, you know, guys up front got pushed back into the lap of the holder almost. So I do think it's a personnel issue. Of that, I'm totally in agreement. But as far as, like, just put big guys on the edge and that'll solve everything, I don't know about that. Now, obviously, Brian's forgotten more football than I'll ever know. But I do think, yeah, you got to get your better players out in front of your frontline guys out in field goal protect in particular. Brandy, what's up? People are trying to validate the Parsons trade with sacks on the stat line. Why is the norm for fans? Can we just not appreciate what we have? Well, Brandy, obviously, I'm not privy to exactly who you're talking about, but, you know, some fans are going to understand his effect on the game, which has been significant, right? Other fans will look at the fact that he doesn't have a ton of sacks yet, and he's not getting quarterbacks on the ground each and every series or whatever, you know, I don't know, whatever expectations they may have had. But there is little doubt, especially if you know ball, that he has made a monster difference already, right? The amount of attention he gets, the amount of double teams that not only is he receiving, but working through and still creating pressure is incredible. So, yes, sacks will always be the paradigm that people look at it through. And if you don't have those numbers, people always, you know, grumble and be upset and say, oh, this is a bad trade or whatever. I'm just here to tell you, you can safely ignore those people because they don't know ball at all. Jerry, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. I think we need to be more aggressive as a team. You mean like, you know, at the end of the first half and, you know, you've got one timeout and you're backed up in your own end and you're going to try and go get a field goal, like being aggressive like that? I'm kidding. I kid. I know. It's such a catch-all word. It doesn't mean anything. Like, being aggressive is fine, but you got to be smart while you're being aggressive. I mean, take calculated risks, smart risks. You know, there's a time and a place, and I understand the approach either way. More so than being aggressive, this is a team that just needs to execute. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to win a ball game. I don't care how you do it, but man, stop hurting yourself. Execute the game plan. Execute your assignment on each and every play. Don't false start. Don't hold. Don't do the things that get you behind the sticks. On defense, you know, get it on the front foot if you're in the secondary, because that ball is coming out. Do the things, the little things, cross those T's, dot those I's. The results will come. Aggressive, not aggressive, I don't care about any of that. Now, the one area where I would agree, and it's not even an aggression thing, but the one thing that we saw through the first 2 weeks that seemed to kind of dissipate a little bit the next two games was the defensive mindset, where all 11 guys were running to the ball each and every play. That seemed to fall away a little bit on the road, and I do think we'll probably see more of that again back in Lambeau, but that's got to be a constant each and every week, no matter where you're playing. Now, there I might be in agreement as far as like a mentality, an idea of like every single can play, you are running to the ball, all 11 guys. Because those first 2 weeks, it was brilliant. And then, like I said, they kind of lost that juice a little bit. Ed, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Games we should win make me nervous. It's going to be great when that feeling goes away. Ed, there's a reason you get nervous when there's a game in front of you that the Packers should win. That's because you are a Packers fan and you've been there before and you've seen it and you've had your heart crushed and you know that when the Packers should roll over somebody, they tend to. And this not just a LaFleur thing. McCarthy's teams did this. Hell, Mike Sherman and Mike Holmgren's teams did this. They tend to play down to their competition. That's our lot in life as Packers fans. Very rarely do we just show up and just, you know, roll and just blow up somebody that we should. Very rare. Now, some of that is just, it's the NFL, and that's not how it works more often than not. Not these days. The last time, the only time in my life, actually, as a Packers fan, that I ever had the feeling that we were going to roll each and every week was 96. It was the only time. And even that year, we had some struggles, you know. A couple got away from them, that game in Minnesota. That first half in, was it the St. Louis then, with against the Rams? That first half was atrocious. And they came back and won that game in the second half. But, yeah, man, those were all, the most of those games were games I thought, oh, yeah, we're going to go in there and we're going to beat the hell out of this team. And then they did. Because the Packers were clearly the best team in the league. But that is just not the modern NFL. Look no further than the Eagles and the Bills last weekend, man. You know? So, all that to say, I completely understand. Trust me. The scar tissue is real and prevalent for every Packers fan. No doubt about it. Shaheem, thanks for the super chat. Can't wait till 9 plays. Fans forget he had almost 700 yards and less than 30 receptions last year, and the wide receiver defensive game plans for mostly when he plays game changer. Could not agree more. Something we talked about earlier this week. The whole operation changes on offense, mostly because how defenses play them has to change. And what I'm excited about, and I've talked about this a little bit, getting him and Matthew Golden on the field together, ho, baby, that is going to be a good time. But I'm with you, man. He was productive, even though he didn't get a ton of targets, especially early in the season. He is a difference maker, even without the ball in his hand. Just his gravitational pull, the way coverage has to roll to him. Yeah, it's exciting, man. I'm with you. And as I've said, I'll be surprised if he's up this Sunday, but I think Arizona, that there's a good chance that he's up for that game. FMCH, thank you, sir. If we Tommy DeVito this freaking game, I'm going to need my own Packer man to destroy. That kind of thing makes a man thirsty. Say, speaking of being thirsty, thoughts? It's very interesting you should ask. I might have some thoughts.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Ah, yes. Carry the G Cream Ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. So good. It's so good to have some in the house now, too. Oh, so beautiful. Can't wait to have a few watching the Brewers tonight. Come on now. KD, thank you, sir. Can Jordan drop kick like Doug Flutie, random Packer, Brett Swain? Hey, shout out Brett Swain. Brett Swain follows me on Twitter. Can Jordan drop kick like Doug Flutie? Let's find out. Why not? I'm down. Let's get weird. I'm all about it. Eric, this is a fair question, and I'm sorry I don't have a real answer for you. Any idea when Cox or Lloyd may be off IR? No timetables have been given. Now, that said, they could, at now that you know this first 4 weeks has passed of the season, the first four games have passed, they could come off IR at any time. The Packers get to bring up to 8 guys back per year. Now, they've activated the windows for Christian Watson and Jacob Monk, but they could bring Brent Cox Jr., Marshawn Lloyd. They could open their windows any week. So we'll see. But there has been no indication of when that might be yet, unfortunately. Brett, I could not agree more. Defense has to start squatting on the short, quick throws. Thank you. And that doesn't mean you have to play up and press man, right? You don't have to get physical at the line of scrimmage. In fact, I hope they don't, because We saw a couple of times when they tried to do that against Dallas, they got beat up and around. You know, guys got off the press and threw, basically converted whatever route they were running into a fade or a nine route. And then they were up the sideline and throwing up their arm and go, I'm open, right? I don't need that. But I do need you playing at least flat-footed and with eyes on the quarterback so that when that ball does, to your point, inevitably come out, because it's got to come out. The Packers' pass rush is too good. Micah Parsons is too good. When it comes out, you are breaking on it. You are making a play on the ball. Play unafraid on the back end. It's the first thing I loved. And Brian Wood had a great piece in PackersNews.com a couple weeks ago where he talked about the very first meeting with Micah and the rest of the defense. And he was talking to the secondary. He said, break on every route. And they were like, what do you mean? Like, break on every route. It's going to come out because I'm going to get there. Like, they have to. They absolutely have to start doing it. And you saw a decent amount of that the first couple games. But certainly against Dallas, it was frustrating as hell watching them play not only off, but then not break on anything. Break on the routes. Play unafraid. I'm begging Halfley to put that in their ears this week. I'm right there with you. Doug Hype, what's up, man? Carry the G. Refreshing when beating the Cubs. Truly, unfortunately, that didn't happen last night. But hopefully tonight, get that all locked up with some Carry the G. It'll be great. Brandy, thanks again. Any chance Goot looks into a D lineman before the trade deadline? We might need one. I think there's always going to be, you know, activity when it comes to the pro personnel group and looking at possibilities, possible additions, not just, you know, on the street, but also potential trades, potential practice squad additions, etc. But more than anything, I think what they'll probably do, and this is usually their MO, is let the young guys play. Let them continue to get better, hopefully, continue to develop, right? That is my guess. So could he? Yes. Will he? I tend to doubt it, but we'll see. I mean, at this point, hell, he traded for Micah Parsons, which already shocked the hell out of me. So maybe he does make a move there. Brett, what are you buying at the pro shop this weekend? Everything. All of it. Every single one. Rai, you are 1,000,000,000% correct. Lost in the sauce is Parsons played really well versus Dallas. He has a winning mentality. He was winning immediately. Dak balled out. Gary, on the other hand, yeah, Gary had a very disappointing night in Dallas on the whole. There were a couple of plays where he beat his man, did a nice job, and like quarterback got the ball out of his hand, right? But there were certainly other occasions where, you know, Prescott's getting ball out so quick that nobody can get to him, right? But yeah, I agree. I think it was because he didn't have any sacks until that last one there in overtime, blah, blah, blah. People were pointing to the box score, which is always silly, but, yeah, Parsons had a hell of a game against the Cowboys. And I suspect he's going to have another hell of a game against the Bengals. Dennis, is Hobbs playing Sunday? I believe so. But we will see. We'll have a better indication in that regard tomorrow when we get the final injury report with designations. We don't have anything on that yet. All right, everybody. I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.